It's the Gadget Grill on 2RDJ FM, 88.1 on the FM band. We are on the internet at radio2rdj.com. Hi there, I am the Professor Stumpy Steamboat Gaz. Sitting in the passenger seat today looking very, very nervous is none other than...
Alex Horosh.
Why are you looking so nervous today, Alex? What's the issue?
I think you're mistaking nerves and cold. I'm looking very cold tonight, Gary. As are you. I mean, we're all rugged up.
We are indeed. We've got three blankies in the studio. We've got a fire going in the corner there. Very, very nice indeed it is. Very nice.
Crackling. We probably shouldn't have lit that chair on fire.
No, probably not. How's your week been, mate?
Pretty good, other than... For cold, I don't know. The cold has been nice, actually. It's been a pleasant change after this extended summer.
I love how, when you watch the weather reports on TV, one day of cold. When is the warmth going to come back? You know, it is. And of course, when it's warm, when is the heat going to end? The people on who do the weather reports on TV, they've got to be absolute bloody nongs, total morons. They're just, if it's cold, they want to know when it's going to get warm. If it's warm, when's it going to get cold? If it's rained for 10 minutes, when is the rain going to end?
We have to add some drama to the weather, and, you know, how else are you going to spice up your, weather reporting?
I could think of lots of ways, but none of them would be publishable in a public forum. They certainly wouldn't go to air on a commercial TV network.
And that's why instead they ask for hard questions like, when will the heat come back?
Yes, yes, yes. Or, here are the 13 reasons why the weather is going to be cold this week. Have you noticed how in the media, everything today is a list? 13 reasons why you should this, 7 best things, the 8 things you should never do when you're doing something or other.
But do you know why that works?
I don't know that it does work, but enlighten me, please.
Apparently, psychologically speaking, it gives the reader some predictability. They know what they're getting into. Because, okay, it's you can kind of judge whether or not you want to read the piece, because, you know, you're not clicking on something that you expect is a 300-word news story to turn out. It's a 3,000-word read.
I would love to click on something that is actually a meaningful story. Unfortunately, the mainstream media in this country doesn't seem to know how to do that anymore. And the stories that they do publish are so poorly sub-edited.
The Guardian's got some great long form.
Who? The Guardian?
Yeah.
Yes, The Guardian has. Is The Guardian what we'd call mainstream media? I don't think so.
It's still a major publication.
It is a major publication, but it's not... it's not part of the Fair Doc or, was it, Murfax regime, is it?
No, and that's why I subscribe to The Guardian.
And how is your pocket, your back pocket feeling today, or nearly a week after the budget?
I still don't have my $10 more.
You still don't have your money from 10 Buck Turnbull?
No, I don't. Do you?
No. Are you expecting to see it anytime soon?
When was... Well, they...
It starts from July the 1st, but it is a rebate. You don't get it until after the end of the tax year, so we will not see it until sometime after the 1st of July 2020.
So it's not really $10 a week then.
And it's not going to be $10 a week. It's going to be $500. That is, of course, if they stay in government after the next election, if this actually goes through the parliament. And then there's all the other stuff, because I know that you earn, something close to the $200,000 a year. So you're going to be getting the $7,000 a year reduction in your income tax, right?
In
7 years' time. Should we stop with all our political pontificating?
This used to be a technology radio show.
Oh, that's right, yeah. I remember back when, in 1967, this song was released. It was released on May the 12th, 1967, in fact. Today, of course, is May the 13th. It is Mother's Day, unless you're listening on Tuesday, in which case it's May the 15th and not Mother's Day. But Procol Harum's Whiter Shade of Pale, this song, 51 years on, still sounds bloody awesome.
You're back listening to The Gadget Grill on Radio 2RDJ 88.1 on the FM band and Radio2RDJ.com on the web. And now that we're back to being a tech show, it's time to cover a pretty busy week of news.
Okay, I'm glad one of us thinks it's been a busy week. I don't have all that much in the way of news. I think I've got one news item and it hasn't turned up on my list here as yet.
Did you miss the big conferences from Microsoft and Google?
Well, there is that. There is that. There was the Microsoft conference. There was the Google conference. But apart from that, was there actually a lot that happened in the world of tech? Well, let me go back a step. Would you call Microsoft tech? Would you call Google tech? And if so, why?
Let's actually just talk about what happened, Gary.
Okay, go for it, mate.
Well, let's start with Google.
Okay.
So Google had Google I.O., which is its annual developer conference. And the big consumer news is they unveiled Android P and quite a lot of its new functionality. And ironically, a lot of the focus of Android P is helping you use your phone less, whether that's more efficiently or through, I guess, digital well-being.
Is it using it less or starting to use it differently?
I guess both, actually.
Right.
So in terms of using it more efficiently and using it differently, I guess, there's two new features that are coming to Android P, which are called Actions and Slices, where it kind of essentially allows developers to kind of take parts of their app and integrate them into Android. So, for example, if, you know, you always open up Spotify after plugging in headphones, your phone will learn that, and then it will give you a shortcut to Spotify, to like your favorite Spotify playlist in your app drawer, like near the top.
Okay.
For example.
Keep going.
Or, you know, if you always, say, call your son at a certain time, like, you know, you normally call Lee on a Saturday afternoon, then every Saturday afternoon, your phone would come up with like a shortcut to
which is a learning capability. Uh-huh. One of the things that I've been lamenting for 18 years ish I guess now is the inability of GPS systems to learn from where you travel. You go down a particular road, even though the GPS might tell you to go down a different road, you go down a particular route because you think that is the better way to go. Now, to my mind, a GPS should, after you do that three or four times,
remember
that it should learn that this is the way you prefer to go when you're going down this way, and it should automatically take you down that particular route.
Well, hopefully but we start they don't. Seeing more of that.
Well, this is what you're saying, isn't it?
Yes. So slices are similar, but it just allows developers to quickly. Or, for example, if you searched Uber in your Google nav bar on your Android phone,
yep,
it would then come up with, okay, book an Uber to work. Like, just a button to do that without even opening the app. So that's what it means by using your phone, I guess, more efficiently.
Right,
but in terms
right.
of using your phone less.
I wonder if the people on the other end who were listening to the shows heard me nod my head then to you. It'll be the rattling noise that gave it away.
So the digital well-being is, there's three parts to it. A dashboard that tells you, like, how long you use your phone each day, what apps you use the most, when you've used the apps, how many times you've unlocked your phone, and how many notifications you've gotten, which is staggering.
Okay. Let's pause there for a moment, and let's think about how sad your life would actually be if any of that information actually mattered to you. Do you care how long you use your phone? Your phone is there as a tool. You use it as you need to. Do you really care how long you've used it for, how many notifications you've got, any of this sort of stuff? Is it important? Does it matter? Unless you are addicted to the phone. But even then, do you really care about these statistics? And if so, why?
I think the thing is, it's meant to help people realize actually how much they're using their phone. Not necessarily because they want to know, but okay, you
might. My question still stands. Why?
Well, that comes to the second part.
Okay, carry on.
Then you can also set app timers on, say, like Instagram, on Twitter, on Chrome, and after a certain amount of time, it will actually lock out that app for the day.
Log you out of the app for the day. At which point you will, after 3 days, disable this, because if I want to go on Twitter, I will.
But maybe you don't have a Twitter problem. Do you have a Twitter problem? You might have a Twitter problem.
The last time I inquired of people about my problems, there was a very, very, very long list. A very long list. And a line of people queuing up to add to the list, I might add. But in all seriousness, I think that if you're worried about these sort of things, I think you've got other, more pressing issues that you need to deal with rather than just how long you're spending on the phone. I agree that a lot of people spend way too much time on the phone, on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram, whatever. But if your concern is to have an app or to have a facility that tells you how long you're doing and to actually take you out of it, then I would respectfully suggest that you have other much more serious, much more pressing problems that you really need to address.
I don't think... I think that's a little extreme, but I'd say...
I'm extreme. I'm the professor.
This is true. But I'd argue that maybe it's... even if you... just maybe use your technology more mindfully, where it's okay, I will allocate myself 30 minutes on Facebook per day. I will allocate my, and after I've used that, I shouldn't use it anymore. And so you spend your time better. Because, it's easy to just keep scrolling through Twitter.
It is. Very easy.
These apps are designed to be addictive.
Oh, absolutely. And they succeed very much in that goal.
And even if you don't intend to spend a long time, it's easy to get lost in them. So maybe this functionality isn't...
And setting yourself a goal that you're only going to spend 15, 20 minutes, half an hour on Twitter, Facebook, whatever, unless you have something that A, you cannot override, and B, you cannot disable... That's a waste of bloody time. I respectfully suggest that if you've got a problem like that, you've really got other problems that you need to be addressing in the first instance.
I would respectfully disagree, because sometimes all you need is that gentle encouragement, in the sense that, I've signed out of Facebook on all of my phones.
That's a very wise decision, as you know, I would say.
Yeah, I keep Messenger signed in. Because that's how I talk with a lot of my friends. But now...
Hang on. You're a geek.
Yes.
And you have friends?
Surprisingly.
I know. Carry on.
It means every now and again I'll still open the Facebook app, but it's signed out. And I can sign in again. But it's just a little detail. It's do I actually want to spend time here? And I think sometimes it's just you need that little, roadblock in the way to make you think about what you're doing. And I don't think Google is trying to actually solve smartphone addiction with these features. I just think they're...
Of course not. That would not be in their interests.
No.
They just want to make it look as though they're doing something. pardon me for being the ever cynical professor here, but...
It's definitely fair to say that Google doesn't want you not using your phone at all. But I think it's very interesting functionality, and it'll be really interesting to see if it actually can bring about, some positive change in terms of modifying how people use their phones.
Right.
What's your news story, Gary?
Well, I have just one word for you: clout.
Oh,
clout is closing down.
So, fill us in. What is clout?
You're not familiar with
clout? No, I am familiar with clout, but our listener might not be.
Well, clout is a website that gives you points for visiting other websites, is basically what it is. It's basically a form of...
Online reputation.
Online marketing is the word that I would use, not reputation. Well,
that's what clout pitches themselves as, but...
Yes. But they have fallen afoul of the new European regulations that come into effect in a couple of weeks' time. And rather than fix their problem, bye-bye clout. And I have yet to see anybody who is sorry to see them go. Do you know anybody who has been crying?
No.
About clout's disappearance? No? Good. Good.
That's probably about time.
Next.
Yeah, so we had a little bit more unlimited data news this week, and again, unlimited data.
He's holding up, he's doing air quotes with his fingers, ladies and gentlemen. Just for those of you who are not looking at your radio at this point in time.
I thought the emphasis on unlimited data might have suggested that.
Some of our users are addicted to their phones and they're not paying attention, Alex. I'm sorry.
So TPG is in the process of building Australia's fourth mobile network, and while it's still a couple of months away, they have already started looking for expressions of interest for people, you know, to like be an initial wave of customers and help test.
Victor, customers, right? Sorry, yes, you used that word.
Yeah, so but it seems like the main TPG plan for its new phone network is going to be $9.99 per month will get you unlimited data with 1 gigabyte of high speed data per day. So up until 1 gigabyte each day.
That's an interesting way of addressing it, isn't it?
Yes. So, you know, it is essentially 30 gigabytes a month for $10 a month, which is kind of crazy.
That is actually very good value.
Yes.
That represents exceptional value.
After you go over 1 gigabyte, you'll be capped to 1 megabit per second, which is 0.5 megabit slower than Telstra and Vodafone's plan. But even so, it's...
It's still pretty good.
Oh, but the big catch is, like, you know, TPG's network is new. It's not finished. And...
So what that may mean is that you can be out the back of Bourke somewhere and you have no connectivity.
Essentially, and even in the initial phases, it might be parts of, say, Sydney, where you, like, it drops out if you're on a train line somewhere.
Well, hey, I live in Bondi, and Bondi isn't exactly whoop-whoop, but our mobile networks don't actually give good coverage in... many parts of Sydney.
Well, apparently TPG will initially be available in Bondi Junction, so maybe you should sign up.
That means I've got to move to Bondi Junction. Because I live in Bondi. Not Bondi Junction, not Bondi Beach, not North Bondi, not South Bondi, not Bondi Heights. Bondi.
Hopefully it covers the entire area. I'm assuming so. But, so even better, customers will get their first 6 months free. And there's no contract.
Okay, that makes it very impressive, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's almost like sign up for a second SIM and try it out.
Okay. At your work, at your office, are you allowed to use removable storage? Removable hard disks, USB sticks, maybe an SD card or three?
Yep.
You are?
Yes.
You obviously do not work for IBM.
Well,
who are now in the process of banning all employees from using removable storage. What do you think about that?
For a company the size of IBM, it probably makes sense because, well, a flash drive is a great attack vector.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you can install a virus on a USB that will propagate as soon as it's plugged in and there's nothing you can do about it. And people are dumb and they'll, like, connect on
it. No, people are not dumb. They just can't get off their bloody phones because they're addicted to them. I'm sorry, you were saying something serious, weren't you?
Oh, no. Well, so people are dumb is a bit harsh, but I just mean, you know.
No, it is not.
you know, you plug, if you plug in a USB into a computer that you're not familiar with, or you just get given a USB at a trade show, and, you know, like, you are taking a risk when you plug in, you know, strange dongles into your
You're port. Walking through a parking lot, walking up to your car, and 10 metres away from your car, you see a USB stick lying on the ground. What are the two things you are going to do with it?
Leave it there.
You are going to pick it up, and you are going to put it into
a bin?
Your computer. That's what the typical person is going to do. And unless you have some fairly reasonable sort of protection on your computer,
it's a bad idea.
Yeah, it is not a good idea. Yeah. It is not a good idea to do that at all. Your suggestions were much better. Leave it there, or pick it up and throw it in the bin.
Or, you know, lost property. If it was a lost property.
Nah. Because even if it was your USB stick and you lost it, and it had gone out into the wild, and somehow it turned up and was returned to you, would you be willing to put that into your computer?
Maybe into, like,
If you have a sandbox machine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You could, depending on, like, how big the stick was.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if you
I've seen some this big. Oh, hang on, no. That's not right, is it?
So, but like, if it was an external hard drive that you lost, or one of those, like a terabyte portable solid state drive, then you probably actually would go to the effort of sanitizing that disk.
Yes, yes. Absolutely. One more story, Mr. Horace.
So Telstra has halted the sale of all its ZTE branded mobile... the Telstra branded phones, but manufactured by ZTE.
Ooh. Why is that?
So this has happened in the wake of ZTE's announcement that it is shutting down its global operations in the face of sanctions levied by the US government.
Okay, okay. Now, I don't know whether you paid attention, but you know that when I'm using alphabetized acronyms and so on, and I'm using... the letter Z. I will say the letter Z because I lived in America for a number of years. Did you notice that you used the pronunciation of Z, not Z? Most people in Australia would refer to it as ZTE. You refer to it as ZTE. Carry on.
ZTE sounds weird.
It does, doesn't it?
And, you know, it's not an Australian company, so I figure ZTE.
Okay. I'm not going to argue on that. I'm just making the observation, sir.
So, essentially, American companies are no longer able to do business with ZTE, which prevents it from using Qualcomm mobile processors and Google's Android stack.
Right.
For up to 7 years. So, you know, it kind of needs both of those for making Android phones like it does. So, ZTE is responsible for manufacturing many of Telstra's cheaper smartphones, such as, and its rugged lineup. So, things like the Telstra Tough Max, and a lot of a cheaper range, like the Telstra Lite, the Telstra 4GX Enhanced. So if you have one of these phones, you can still keep using it, and Telstra will still honor the warranty because it was sold to you by Telstra. They have just stopped selling these devices, and a number of portable wireless hotspots have also been affected by ZTE, I guess, closing shop for now. Okay. So the company is in the process of trying to negotiate with the US government, and it is looking for alternatives. So, for example, they have already signed... Taiwanese chip manufacturer MediaTek has received a permit to sell mobile processors to ZTE, but Android will be harder to replace. And while Android is open source, actually selling an Android phone that has a Google Play store requires signing an agreement with Google, which Google isn't allowed to do at present.
Right, right. Okay, that's probably enough news for today. We've probably bored everybody.
Probably.
Yeah, I'm having trouble staying. This is Paul Kelly, and Before Too Long. Before too long, the one that you're loving, I wish that he never met you. Before too long, he who is nothing will suddenly come into view. So let the time keep rolling on. It's on my side. Lonely nights will soon be gone. High is the tide. Welcome back to the Gadget Grill on 2RDJ FM 88.1 on the FM band. We are on the internet at radio2rdj.com. You may use that with or without all of those W's.
It's up to you, really.
It is up to woo. Yes. Okay.
So we touched on Google's developer conference a little, or a lot, in the previous segment.
We did.
And we're going to talk about it a little bit more now. There was one announcement that seemed to have taken the internet by storm.
It has indeed. It's gone viral, to use that term. And it is quite controversial in what these capabilities are. Alex, you want to describe what they demonstrated?
So it's called Google Duplex, which is an extension of Google Assistant, which is the little voice in your computer that you can talk to, as opposed to the little voice in your head.
As opposed to Siri.
Yes.
Right. Okay.
And so with Google Duplex, you'll be able to ask Google to, say, book you a haircut and give it a day and a time range, and then Google will call up the hair salon and book it for you. Well, not Google, your Google Assistant.
Your Google Assistant will use your phone to call your hairdresser and make you an appointment within the time frame parameters that you have defined to it. So you will say, okay, Google, book me a haircut for Wednesday between midday and 3 p.m., please. And your Google Assistant will call the hairdresser and will attempt to make you that booking. Yeah, obviously, there's got to be the availability at the hairdresser. But in so doing, it is going to be talking to your hairdresser. This is the Google Assistant, a computer, talking to the hairdresser and asking if it can make that appointment. And
as if it were a real person.
As if it were a real person. Whatever. It's going to be inserting those sort of pauses, those sort of breaks into the conversation to try and make it sound
a little bit more human.
It is a human, a real person.
The demos were fascinating to watch. It is actually unbelievable that technology has come to this point where, you know, where where software is almost mimicking a person. And you can still, like, it is a little bit stilted.
Yes.
But not overly so. Like, it seems like the software can do a pretty decent job of having a conversation. But I guess then we get to a lot of, like, there's a lot of questions that come around as a result of this.
Well, absolutely, absolutely. This is really getting into some of the stuff from 1984, from all of these very futuristic stories that we've had for so many years. And here we are, it's 2018, and that future is starting to hit us. Self-driving vehicles, your phone can make an appointment for you at the hairdresser, or it can book your car service for you. You know, we're talking. This is really taking us down a whole new path.
What do you think of it, Gary? Like, the convenience sounds great.
The convenience absolutely sounds great. And also, I can't be bothered to make those phone calls. And in fact, I've got an appointment that I should have made with
your hairdresser, I can tell.
Well, with a doctor that I should have made 6 months ago that I haven't. Because when I ring them up, they say to send an email to them, and then they'll make an appointment in their time frame for you. And I find that very bloody arrogant and very bloody offensive. I really do. And I should have made this appointment in October, November of last year, and it's still sitting in my to-do list because I just cannot be bothered to deal with that sort of an arrogance. In actual fact, when I got the referral from my doctor to go and see them, and they did that, and they came back, and the appointment was 6 months down the track, I went back to my doctor and said, is this person actually worth that?
Oh, wow.
And he said yes. So at the moment, what this doctor told me was that if I make the appointment within a particular time frame, then she was pregnant, she was going to be away on maternity leave having her baby. Now, this is interesting because she's a doctor, she's a specialist. she runs her own practice. How does that person take maternity leave? I understand what she's saying, but something there doesn't make sense. But yeah, it's I find a certain level of automation to be convenient and to be helpful, but beyond that I find it to be somewhat condescending and offensive. So I'm really in two minds on this, Alex. I like the idea of it, but I'm not sure. You know, and I guess I'm at that age where, you know, sort of a lot of people my age would be very, very...
off-put by talking to a robot?
Absolutely, absolutely.
We do have to remember the people on the other side of the line, because...
Yeah.
Like, how are people going to feel about talking to a robot if... I guess, I mean...
Well, the idea is they won't know they're talking to a robot. Well,
actually, Google had, like, after the feedback that's come out of this, Google have said that it will announce itself as being a digital assistant.
Yes.
So that at least people know they're talking to a robot.
In which case, I'll just hang up. it's like a telemarketing call. You know, when you're getting a telemarketing call, what's the first thing you do? Put the bloody phone down.
Pretty much.
Yes.
But, you know, I guess there's like a risk, like when it comes to like the services industry, that if you're not talking to an actual person, does that dehumanize the process further? And yes. For example, will you feel less guilty about having to reschedule your, you know, your car service 5 times? Because you're not talking to a person, you're talking to...
Curiously, when I book my car service, I do it via an online web form.
Fair enough.
So, you know, is that any different from having a Google Assistant make the phone call for me?
But if you want to reschedule it, do you have to call up, or can you...
I think I've got to call up, yeah.
Precisely.
Yep. Okay. This is Jojo Zepp and the Falcons. Hit and run.
Listening to the Gadget Grill on Radio 2RDJ 88.1 on the FM band and Radio2RDJ.com on the web. And we're going to have a chat about mid-range phones.
Okay.
Specifically, one mid-range phone.
And what is the name of that one mid-range phone?
It's a bit confusing because it kind of has about 3 different names that I've seen it refer to.
Okay.
I am, of course, talking about Nokia's new Nokia 6 or the Nokia 6 2018 or the Nokia 6.1. It's the Nokia 2018 on the website, Nokia 6 2018 on the website, the 6.1 on the box, and the new Nokia 6 in press releases.
Okay.
So we'll call it the 6.1 for now.
Yeah. Okay, that'll do. Tell me about it.
So it's a new $399 phone.
That's cheap.
Yeah, it runs Android One, which is a pure version of Android that gets software updates every month and for 3 years and 2 major operating system updates. So it will be seen through to at least Android Q.
Right.
And it has like some pretty good internals.
Such as?
A Snapdragon 630 processor. The next cheapest phone with the same processor is another $150 more. So you are getting some serious, I guess, spec for buck.
Okay, now one of the things that people look for in these sort of phones every time now, of course, quality of the camera.
The camera's not great.
Okay.
Like, the camera's, you know, like, it's fine during the day, it's pretty inconsistent at night.
Right.
It's a $400 phone. It's not going to work wonders. The Zeiss logo on the back is just marketing, which is a shame, because Nokia's reignited its partnership with Zeiss lenses. but on this phone, it's not doing much.
Okay, okay.
But it's got a lovely screen, which is actually got for smudge-resistant coating, the other type of coating on it. It works, it's polarized, so it works quite well outdoors.
Okay,
so,
that's a good idea.
Yeah. And so, it's got a lovely build quality. It's got, you know, that Nokia build quality where you
Nokias have always had good build quality.
Yeah, so like HMD have brought that back with, you know, their revival of Nokia.
Right.
And it's just like the kind of phone that I want to drop just to see if it will survive.
Okay.
And I haven't yet because I have to return it this week.
Oh, okay.
But, like, it's the kind of phone that feels like it would survive a few drops.
Right.
And I did look into this on YouTube, and there are a few videos of people trying to do the whole smashing it thing, and it seems to hold up
pretty well. Before we leave tonight, let's put it under the front wheel of my car, and let's see what that does to it.
Oh, dear.
You don't like that idea much, I guess.
No, I have read the terms and conditions of the loan.
Oh, okay. And they would get upset with you if we did this.
Yes, my employer would be...
Fair enough.
I would be liable for, I think, 3 times the cost of a phone.
Okay, okay.
I don't want to...
So that's the Nokia...
6.1. It's in stores now for $399, and it's an excellent value device. And it's not quite the prettiest phone on the market. It does look a little, I guess, conventional.
Okay.
But it has some lovely copper highlights, which at least give it a bit of a spark, and it feels great.
Okay, this is the Beatles. Your mother should know.
Let's all get up and dance to a song that was a hit before your mother was born. Though she was born a long, long time ago, your mother should know. So get up and dance to a song that was a hit before your mother was born. Though she was born a long, long time ago, your mother should know.
Your mother
should know.
Welcome back to the Gadget Grill on 2RDJ FM 88.1 on the FM band on the internet, radio2rdj.com. We have, Alex, I'm sad to say, we have run right out of time for tonight's show.
Devastating.
I can tell how upset you are. And I don't know that there's a lot I can do about it.
I guess we'll just have to come back next week.
I guess... That's what we're going to have to do.
Sorry, guys.
Yeah, we don't even have time for a useless gadget apart from me. It's been a good show. I've got to tell you, of all the shows that we've done, this has been one of them.
It sure has. Yeah. It sure has been a show.
Yeah, absolutely.
So this has been the Gadget Girl, I guess.
It has indeed. Keep going.
And it will be the Gadget Girl next week. Same time, same place. 9 p.m. on a Saturday, 2 p.m. on a Tuesday.
You want to try that again?
9 p.m. on a Sunday.
Thank you.
2 p.m. on a Tuesday on Radio 2RDJ 88.1 on the FM band. I've been Alex Horsch.
And I am still the Professor, Stumpy Steamboat Ghost. This is Miles Davis and Trains Blues. We will see you again next time. Take care, Australia.
Bye.